Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevomas Daf Ayin Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin 16 lines from the top of Daf Ayin Zayin with a brisa that we actually had would have been better had we learned it as part of the end of our previous year, but all the same, an opportunity just to review what we have been discussing. The Gemara, up till this point, was pointing out the source, or the point that when it comes to Ammon and Moab, the nations, two nations that the Torah says shall not join the Jewish people, meaning they cannot marry into the Jewish people, even if a Moabite or Ammonite man converts, he cannot marry a Jewish woman, nor can any of his sons. However, when it comes to the women folk of Ammon and Moab, so they are accepted into the Jewish fold and can marry into the Jewish fold immediately, even without waiting several generations. Where do we know that from? So we'll see in this Tanaic source, the two sources that we have actually seen till now in the course of the Gemara. So the Gemara continues, Kitanoi, the issue as to what is the source for Ammonite women being acceptable into as marriage into the Jewish people immediately, as opposed to Ammonite and Moabite men. So the Pasuk in dealing with them appears in the masculine, Ammoni velo Ammonis. The Torah uses the word Ammoni. Lo savo Ammoni. Well, that's a masculine form. So that they are the ones that are restricted. Velo Ammonis, not the feminine, the females of Ammon. Moavi, likewise, the Torah uses the word Moavi in the masculine form. Veloi Moavis, and not Moavis. In other words, Moavis, a female from Moav, is not restricted. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is Rabbi Yehuda's approach. He simply focuses on the grammatical form of the word, makes the inference, and comes to the conclusion. Rabbi Shimon Omer, he says, the Pasuk reveals the reason, Al Dvar Asher Lo Kidmu Eschem Belechem Uvamayim. We are not to accept the Ammon and Moabite people into the Jewish fold because of a character fault of theirs that dates back to the Jews and their travel in the desert, whereby these people did not offer the Jewish travelers bread nor water. So that's a character fault. But now, who would be expected to do so and didn't? Darkoi shel ish lekadem. V'chule v'chule means etc. V'lo, and we would fill in v'lo darko shel isha. It is the way of men folk, males, to go out into the public to greet others with food and water. It's not the way of women. Women are as a function of their modesty, they would remain indoors, remain in their houses, and hence the expectation of them in the first place doesn't exist. So we continue now in the Gemara with a new marking. On the side we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. The Nosei is the topic heading. The Mivneh indicates a structural note. The diamonds highlight the expression Dorash Rava. Sidra Shel Droshes. We have a series of teachings. Be'inyan David HaMelech V'Horeka Shelo Mi Moavit. And David HaMelech's background, he is a descendant from Ruth. From Ruth, who was a Moabite woman. Dorash Rava, my dichtiv. What is the meaning of the posuk that you find in Tehillim, and it's part of our Hallel prayer? Pitachta lemoisei roi. Omar David lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. David said in front of the Almighty, Ribono shel Olam, shnei moisarois hoyu al Let's just read that phrase again. David says to the Almighty, Shnei moisoros shahoyu olai posachtom. Two bonds or restrictions that were upon me, you opened them up. Rusamo avio v'namo hamoines. The restrictions referred to is the restrictions of not marrying these people, the Moabite nor Ammonite people. And in David HaMelech's family, so his great-grandmother was Rus, and through the drosha we saw, Moavi v'lo Moavi, so she became muteris, allowed. She married Boaz, David's predecessor. And Naamo HaMoines, Naamo was the mother of Rechavam. She was the wife of Shloimo HaMelech, and they bore Rechavam, through whom the Davidic dynasty continued. And so her being from Ammon represented a restriction, a stricture that was opened, it was released, and hence David's reference to that in the pasuk Pitachto lemoiserai. You opened the bonds that had been a restriction. Dorash Rava. Rava expounded. My dichtiv, Rabbi Sosiso ato Hashem elokai nifloisecho machshvoisecho eleinu. Elai lo ne'emar. In this pasuk, you see the concluding word eleinu. It's in the plural form, and David HaMelech is saying here that many wondrous acts and thoughts you had upon us. Upon me, it doesn't say that, but rather eleinu, upon us. Malamed, this teaches us, Shei Rechavam Yoshev Becheke Shel David. Rechavam, the grandson of David, was sitting in his grandfather's lap, in David's lap, the Omar Lo, and David, looking upon his grandson, said, Olai ve'olecho nemru shtei mikros halalo. Upon me and upon you, hence the plural eleinu, we have these two references in the pasuk, namely Moavi velo Moavis, that was to enable me to be born into this world, my great grandmother, and Ammoni velo Ammonis, to enable you, your mother, having come from the Ammonite people. Dorash Rava, my dichtiv ozamardi, hine bosi b'megila sefer kosuvolai. That's the pasuk where David HaMelech says that I was referred to, there was a reference of concerning me in the Holy Scroll. What is he referring to? Omar David, ani omarti atabosi. David says he thought that he has now come into the world. In other words, he's a new arrival without any hint to his eventual birth referenced at any earlier point. For lo yodati, and I didn't know, I didn't realize, Shebe Megillah Sefer Kosovolai, that in the Megillah Sefer, in the Holy Scroll, in the Torah, it was already a reference to me. If we look at Rashi, in the upper part of the narrow lines, Ani Omarti, Bishoshe Nimshachti, when I was anointed to be king, Atabosi Lugdula, that now I have achieved greatness, only something recent, Umikorov Poskuli Gedula, and only recently greatness was bestowed upon me. Veloi yodati, and I didn't realize shemime Avram nichtevo alai b'mila sefer, that already from the time of Avram there was a reference to me. And now, what is that reference? So we continue in the Gemara. Hasam ksiv, regarding the daughters of Lot. Lot was the father, or he fathered through an unusual type of, in effect, an incestuous relationship, where his daughters had cohabited with Lot, their father, producing Ammon and Moab. So it says in the, with reference to the daughters of Lot, Hanim Tzois, Hochoksiv, and here with regard to David HaMelech, it says, Motzosi David Abdi B'shemen Kodshi Meshachtiv. So the word Hanim Tzaos has as its root the word Motza, like the word Motzasi, and through an oral tradition, a connection is made between these two psukim, whereby a hint to David HaMelech's eventual birth and greatness was already alluded to way back then. Omar Ula, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. And before we go further, we should glance at the side of the Gemara. We have a Nosei topic heading. Bas Ger Amoni, Ma Dina Lakuna, the daughter of a convert from Ammon, a man who converts from Ammon, and he has a daughter. What is the law regarding her marriage to a Kohen? So Omar Ula, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Bas Ger Amoni, Ksheira Lakuna. We glance at Rashi, where we left off before in our reading of Rashi. Bas Ger Amoni, Kasalka Daitoch. At this point, the thinking is Amoini Shenizgairo Ishto Imoi, an Ammonite man with his Ammonite woman, wife, converted together. The Horosa Veledosa Bigdusha, and they had a daughter that was conceived and born after their conversion. So that's the thinking right now. And regarding that, Ula says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, she can marry a Kohen. We have a question now, and this question lasts quite a long time. Omar le Rova bar Ula le Ula. Kiman, your point is in accordance with whom? Ikar Rabbi Yehuda, if you're saying a teaching in line with the opinion of the Tano, Rabbi Yehuda, Ha Omar, but Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't accept what you said. He's been known to say, Bas Ger Zohar Kebas Cholol Zohar, the daughter of a male convert, as vis-a-vis the Kohanim, is like the daughter of a male Cholol, a man whose father was a Kohen but married a divorcee. They produce a child. That child is known as a Cholol. He is though his father is a Kohen, he is a non-Kohen. And that the daughter is called a Bas Cholol Zohar, and she's considered a Chalola. A Kohen is not allowed to marry her. So just like the Kohen cannot marry the daughter of a Cholol, the Kohen cannot marry the daughter of a man who converted. That's the Tana Rabbeinu. So what you were quoting in the name of Rabbi Yochanan could not be in accordance with him. Ve'i Kerebi Yosi. And if what you're saying is in accordance with the Tana Rabbi Yosi, Pshita, then what you're saying is of no novel value. You're saying the obvious. Ho Omar, Rav Yosi has already said, Af Ger Shenosa Giores Bito Sheira Lekahuna. A couple, man and woman, that are both converts, their daughter is allowed to marry into the kuna. We should point out, for those who might not be aware, a Kohen has numerous restrictions regarding whom he can marry. Amongst those restrictions is a woman who converted to Judaism. Though a convert is a full-fledged, fully accepted member of the Jewish people, with regard to marriage to Kohanim, so there is a restriction. However, the daughter of a converted couple, according to Rabbi Yosi, she's totally acceptable as one to marry a Kohen. Now, you see we have a bracketed section. Use your bracket length indicator to see how many lines this is. And on the side, we have a note. And we read the note. Sograyim l'shem diluk. The sograyim, the brackets here, are for skipping purposes. L'shmor al retzif ha-she'ila. In order to maintain the continuity of the question. B'sechem yesh nisayon l'harois de divrei ula mevusasim al l'harois de divrei ula einom pshita. There is an attempt to show that Ula's teaching is not something that is obvious like we thought. Avol nisayon ze nidche, but this particular attempt will be rejected. So let's skip the brackets momentarily. Our question right now is, Ula's teaching is in accordance with whom? And if you'll say that it is in accordance with Rabbi Yosi, well, that would be obvious. Picking up the Gemara four lines from the bottom, Dilma ba'amoini shenosa bas Yisrael ko'amris. Maybe your teaching is regarding a case where an Ammonite man married a Jewish woman, a woman of pure Jewish descent, afagav de biyosu bavero, even though their intimacy is one of sin, because an Ammonite man, even if he converts to Judaism, is not allowed to marry a Jewish woman. And that's what happened, even though the intimacy was forbidden. Bito Kshera, the daughter, though, would be fine even to marry the kahuna. So maybe that's what you were saying. Amarle, so he answers, in this is what I was saying. That's what you got it. In other words, if you're wondering, this is Rava Bar Ula was wondering what Ula was trying to mechadesh. So this is the case he was mechadesh. Okay, we'll go over that shortly. But first we have to go over the bracketed section that we skipped. We had asked that Ula's teaching, if it's in accordance with Rabbi Yossi, it would seem to be an obvious point. V'chitema, you might say, behanoch deruyim lovoi bakohol, that the heter of Rabbi Yossi is a reference to those where Rabbi Yossi spoke about Abbas, Ger, Zohar, a Ger Shenosa Giores, a convert couple. Their daughter is Mutter. Maybe his teaching, Rabbi Yossi, is talking about a case of two non-Jews that are people that are not problematic. That's Ruyin Lovo Bakol, types of converts that can marry the Jews. Aval Hai, but an Ammonite, the Ein Roi Lovo Bakol, but someone like that, Rabbi Yossi would never have allowed, where an Ammonite man marries an Ammonite woman and convert together. Well, Minole, where would you have come up with that idea? The Yolef, Mikoyin Gadol Balmona, would you have come up with that because of the precedent of a Kohen Gadol who marries an Almona, which is not allowed, and in fact their daughter is Pusul Lekuna, she's not accepted to the Kuna, she's a Chalola. And based on that, you would think that the Ammonite, the man that married an Ammonite woman and converted, so their daughter would also be unacceptable. Well, that's not a reasonable line of thought. In other words, to base the case of the Ammonite couple that converted and compare it to the case of the Kohen Gadol Balmona. Why not? Ma le Kohen Gadol Balmona shekein biyosu bavera. There you have intimacy that is forbidden. Not so in the case of an Ammonite man that marries an Ammonite woman and they convert together. That is not considered an act of intimacy of sin. That's okay. When we speak about an Ammonite man being forbidden, he's forbidden to marry a woman of pure Jewish descent. But he's allowed to marry an Ammonite woman that converted. So you might say, all right, I see that I can't learn the restriction, I can't suggest a restriction from the case of Kohen Gadol Balmona, but Cholol Yochiach, a Cholol is someone that is the son of a Kohen that married a divorcee. He is allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael. He can marry a regular Jewish woman. However, their daughter is called a Cholola. Their daughter is not muteris, she's prohibited to a Kohen. So I would have said, okay, I'll learn from the case of the Cholol that marries a Bas Yisrael, and I wouldn't have known the din of an Ammonite couple that converted together. So the Gemara says, but still, ma le Cholol, you can't compare the case of this Ammonite couple that converted to the case of Cholol. Why? Ma le Cholol shekein yitziraso bavera. The Cholol is a person, though he didn't sin, but his formation, his conception was through sin. He was conceived because his father, a Kohen, married a woman he shouldn't have married. A divorcee. So we say, all right, so then I can't learn from Cholol, the Chol that married a Bas Yisrael. Kohen Gadol Yochiach. Let's go back to the case of the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol was not formed in sin, and yet we know that his daughter that he has with an Almona is prohibited to the Kahuna. But once again, we said you can't really learn from Kohen Gadol Balmona because that was an intimacy of sin. The Chozar Hadin, that means the logic starts to revolve. And we say, Lo Ro'izeh Kiro'izeh, Velo Ro'izeh Kiro'izeh. The case of Kohen Gadol Balmona is not like the case of the convert couple. And then we say that the case of the Cholol is also not like the case of the convert couple. Hatsad Hashava Shebahen, however, the common denominator between them, between the case of the Kohen Gadol Balmona and the Cholol with the Bas Yisrael, She'enoi Beroiv Kohol, these are cases that are, we'll say, that are not common in the amongst the majority of Jews. You know, each one of them has some type of deficiency. Either the intimacy itself is in sin, or the formation was in sin. Ubito psula, and the daughter is disqualified, is prohibited to marrying a kohen. Af kan she'ena brov kol ubito psula. So too over here, the daughter of the ger amoni is something that's not common amongst the majority of the Jews. And the daughter is unfit to the kuna. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, Ma la'atzara sheva shebahen. You still can't learn from a common denominator between Kohen Gadol Balmona and Cholol with the Bas Yisrael to the case of the Ammonite couple that converted. Sheken yesh bohen sad avera. Cases of Kohen Gadol Balmona and the case of the Cholol with the Bas Yisrael, there's an element of sin, as we said, either in the actual act of intimacy or in their background. Not so in the case of the Ammonite couple that had married and converted, where there's no sin neither in their formation nor in the conception of the child. Nor in the conception of the father either. So once again, the teaching of the daughter of the Ammonite couple that converted as being kosher to the kuna would be obvious. Just to repeat that last point, there isn't any grounds for thinking otherwise. I wouldn't have thought to compare the daughter of the Ammonite couple that converted to neither the Kohen Gadol Balmona, nor to the case of the Cholol that married a Bas Yisrael, nor to a common denominator between them. So, what are you, Ula, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, trying to tell us? Oh, Dilmo Ba'amoini Shinosa Bas Yisrael Koamres. Maybe what you're talking about when you speak about a Bas Ger Amoni is not an Ammonite couple that converted, but rather an Ammonite man that converted, and he married a Jewish woman, which he should not have done. An Ammonite man is not allowed to marry into the people of pure Jewish descent. Even though the intimacy there was a sin, their daughter is kosher, is acceptable into the kuna. And maybe that's what you were trying to say in your original remark. The original remark, by the way, is that which we dashed, underlined at the beginning of this section, and that's why we dashed, unless you can focus on it. Omar lay in. So Ula says back to Rabba Bar Ula, could very well be the father saying to his son, Rava Bar Ula, says, yes, D'chi'osa Ravin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, when Ravin came, he said, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Bas Ger Amoni. That's a case of a man from Ammon who converted, and he married a Bas Yisrael, Ubas Mitzri Sheni, and the daughter of a second generation Mitzri convert. A second generation Mitzri convert is not allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael, a woman of Jewish descent. But they did. The daughter of either one of these cases, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Kshera, and that's really what we have to focus on. Rabbi Yochanan says she's Kshera, and that's why we want to emphasize Rabbi Yochanan's point of Kshera. Reish Lakish Omar Psula. Reish Lakish Omar Psula, the Yolif Law, Mikoin Golo Ba'amona. Reish Lakish, he concludes that this sinful relationship, the daughter is psula, just like another sinful relationship where we see the daughter is psula lakuna, namely a kohen gadol that marries a widow, just like the daughter of a kohen gadol who married an almona, is the daughter is unfit to the kuna, she's a chalola. So too the daughter of an Ammonite man that impregnated a Bas Yisrael, a woman of pure Jewish descent. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Kshera. Now notice we have a point that's going to be made. It's a long point. And with this precedent of Kohen Gadol Ba'amona in mind, Rabbi Yochanan has to give some type of counter source justifying the acceptability of the daughter of a Ger Amoni that impregnated a Bas Yisrael. So Rabbi Yochanan says Kshera, and we continue at the top of Amud Beis. Ditani Rabbi Zakai Kamei to Rabbi Yochanan. Just before we go on with the source, note the structure of this Gemara. You see on the side a Mivneh, you see a triangle is featured with Roman numerals 1 and 2. These are Shnei Lishonos Beha Ditani Rabbi Zakai Kamei to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Zakai is going to be teaching a Tanaic source in the front of Rabbi Yochanan. We have what was the source, so we have two versions of that, highlighted by these triangles, Roman numerals 1 and 2. Shortly, we're going to see diamonds with Aleph and Beis. These will be Shnei Lishonos B'Teguvas Reb Yochanan L'ha D'Tani Reb Zakai. The two reactions, two possible reactions of Reb Yochanan to that which is going to be that which Rabbi Zakai teaches here in Roman numeral number 1. So what? Let's see. Rabbi Zakai says regarding a kohen gadol, ki im besula me'amov yikach isha. A kohen gadol is instructed by the Torah to marry a virgin woman, virgin girl. Lahavi giyoris mechana. Shehi Kshera Lekohuna. This is a new expression, Gyoris Machana. So we look at Rashi. Gyoris Machana mi Mechuna. Klomar. That's an unusual word, Mechuna. What does that mean? Shiavi Avima Me'am Echad, a woman whose parents. Now, the parents are converts. That's what the word Gyores indicates. In this case, her parents are converts. They come from the same nation. Vinolda B'Kedusha. And she was born after they converted. Lafuke, to the exclusion of Ger Amoni Shenosa Bas Yisrael, a Ger Amoni, a man from Amon who converted, who married a woman of pure Jewish descent. Lav Mechanahi, Hoil Ubiosa Bavera, Bito Psula. Now that's not Mechana. They're not from the same people. And since their cohabitation was in sin, so the daughter is disqualified from the kahuna. So now that's what Rabbi Zakai said to Rabbi Yochanan. We continue now in the Gemara on the third line from the top. The Omar lay, and Rabbi Yochanan responds, Ani Shoine. Shoine means teach. I teach, in other words, regarding what you just quoted, I teach as following. Amov me'amov. The Pasuk used the word ki'im besula me'amov. Lavi besula haba mishnei amamim. To include, as being kosher to the kuna, a girl who is born from parents that are from two nations. Vi'at amris Yoris Mechana Vesulo, and you, Rabbi Zakkai, are teaching that only a Gyoris Mechana would be acceptable? In other words, I am more inclusive or more lenient than that which you're teaching. You have presented a higher standard for what kind of girl, woman, would be acceptable to a Kohen Gadol. My Shnei Amamin. What does Rabbi Yochanan mean when his version of the source says a girl from two nations? Ilemo Amoni Shenosa Amoinis. If it's a reference to an Ammonite man that married an Ammonite woman, Umayin Mishnei Amamin Tizchor Masuru Nekevas Mutaros, and the concept of Shnei Amamin, two nations, when in fact they come geographically from the same nation, the two nation element would be that the males are prohibited and the females are allowed. Ohainu Gioras Mechana. The case of an Ammoni Shenosa Amoinis, that's in fact a Gioras Mechana. Those are the two parents come from one nation. So what does Rabbi Yochanan mean when he says Mishnei Amamin? Ela Be'amoini Shenosa Bas Yisrael. And what is meant by Shnei Amamin? Well, then it's very clear. It's an Ammonite man marrying a woman of pure Jewish descent. And the pasuk, as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, ki b'sul me'amo v'yikach isha, is coming to include this relationship, even though it was a relationship of sin. The daughter would be allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol. V'ikar d'amri. Now you see a second version as to what Rabbi Yochanan had meant when he said Mishnei Amamin. Maybe that's not exactly accurate. In the first version, Rabbi Yochanan had said Lahavi psula haba Mishnei Amamin, and then we didn't know, it wasn't clear what that meant. Here, in this version, he says it explicitly. Omar v'ikar d'amri. Omar lei, Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Zakkai, Ani shone, I teach, Amov me'amov. The pasuk again, that referred to the Kohen Gadol, said, Ki'im besulo me'amov, lahavi, this comes to include besulo haba, Mishnei amamin, a girl that's born from parents that are from two different nations, namely a Yisraelis with a ger, Umeam Shiesh Boshneim Amamin, and that ger himself comes from a nation that there are two standards within that same within that one nation. Well, what is that? That of course is Amon or Moav, where the man is restricted for marrying a woman of Jewish descent, and the female from Ammon can marry a man of Jewish descent. So that is as far as I will go, which is further than you, V'at Amris, and you, Rabbi Zakkai, taught Gioras Mechana V'sulo, the daughter of a couple, both parents of whom were from the same nation, and that's it. You aren't willing to go as far as I am going in explaining this pasuk. So now we have this. We have Rashi, by the way, that spells out this approach. Ikar d'amri, Rashi says in the upper part of the narrow lines. Hachi ko amar lei behedya. Rabbi Yochanan responded to Rabbi Zakkai explicitly. Lahavi besula haba mishnei amamin misraelis v'ger v'oiso ger have me'am sheyesh bo shnei amamin dahainu amoni. The Gemara continues. Ulahach lishna. According to this second version, where the pasuk was marbe only the case of the daughter of an Ammoni that married a Bas Yisrael, namely the father comes from an Am Sheishno Shnei Amamin. So according to that version, that approach, And we should point out that there's the difference between this approach and the previous approach was that according to the previous approach, the Mei Amov was coming to include the daughter of a couple who come from two different nations. When we speak about two different nations, that it could be a Jewish woman with a Mitzri man. But in the second version, the Mitzri man isn't alluded to because amongst the Mitzri people, you don't have two standards within the Mitzri people. Therefore, according to the second version, which said that the father himself is from a nation where you have the equivalent of two nations contained within, namely the double standard difference between men and women. What about the following? Bas Mitzri Sheni. Dikshera Lakuna Minole. A Mitzri is alluded to in the Torah, where the Torah says that a convert from Mitzrayim, an Egyptian convert, is not allowed to marry people of Jewish descent until their third generation. So a second generation Mitzri convert, he can't marry a Jewish woman according to Torah law. However, if that happened, their daughter is acceptable to the kahuna. Well, where would Rabbi Yochanan know that from? That a bas mitzri sheni is ksheira lekuna. V'chiteima diyolif me'amoni shenosa b'as Yisrael. You might say, well, I'll learn it from the case that we just discussed, the Amoni that married a woman of Jewish descent. But you can't learn from there. Mal Amoni shenosa b'as Yisrael, shekein nekevos mutaros. The Amonis, the female Ammonite, is muteris, is allowed immediately to marry into the Jewish people. Not so in the case of a mitzris, a female Mitzri convert. So the case of the Bas Mitzri Sheni does not parallel the case of the Amoni Shenosa Bas Yisrael. So where do you know that the Bas Mitzri Sheni is Ksheru Lakuna? The Gemara answers, Mitzri Sheni, Shenosa Mitzri Shnia Yochiach. The Mitzri Sheni, a second generation Mitzri convert, marries a woman with the same background, and they have a daughter. So we're saying that that daughter is Ksheru Lakuna. Yeah, but Ma Le Mitzri Sheni, Shenosa Mitzri Shnia, Shekein Ein Biosa Bavera. There, the cohabitation involved no sin. Not so in the case under discussion, the case of the Mitzri Sheni that marries a Bas Yisrael, where there is sin. Okay, so if the sin factor is bothering you, Amoni Shenosa Bas Yisrael Yochiach. The case of the Ammonite man that married the woman of Jewish descent, where we proved already, to Rabbi Yochanan's liking, we proved that their daughter is kosher lakuna, that there is sin. So too, the Bas Mitzri Sheni that married a woman from Israel, the Mitzri Sheni that married a Bas Yisrael, their daughter, likewise, even though there's sin, can be accepted to the kuna. However, the Chozer Adin, the logic begins to revolve, because we said that you can't really use Amoni Shenosa Bas Yisrael as a precedent, because in that case there's an element of leniency, namely the Amonis is Muteris immediately. So then we have to create a common denominator. And that being that they are not the Rove Kohol, they're not these cases of the Amoni Shenosa Bas Yisrael and the Mitzri Sheni Shenosa Mitzri Shnia, they're unusual cases, they're not found amongst the majority, and their daughter nevertheless is Kosher Lakuna, so too we can conclude the Bas Mitzri Sheni that married the Mitzri Sheni that married a Bas Yisrael, that their daughter is kosher lekuna. Omar of Yosef, Hainu d'shamana le the Rav Yehuda, the Omar Amov me'Amov. Rav Yosef, upon hearing this lecture, he says, now I understand that which Rav Yehuda had been saying in the past, emphasizing the mem of that word me'Amov, the posuk we cited above regarding the Kohen Gadol ki'im b'sula me'Amov yikach isha, v'lo yodano mai komar. And I didn't know what he was darshaning, what he was referring to. But now I understand that he's coming to machshir the Ammoni that married Abbas Yisrael, that even though there's an element of sin in that cohabitation, their daughter is Muteres Lekahuna, as the Pasuk itself was talking about women, the kind of woman that a Kohen Gadol can marry. Ki also Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Omar, Hachi Tono Kamei. When Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda came, he said, this is what Rabbi Zakkai had taught to Rabbi Yochanan. And hence you can see the markings indicate a triangle Roman numeral number 2, a second version as to what Rabbi Zakkai was teaching. So here is the source. Isha Ammonis Kshera. We should point out, by the way, that this source, as we read it, will appear a bit vague. The Gemara will deal with the explanation afterwards. So there are 4 points in this source. Isha Ammonis Kshera. A woman Ammonite is acceptable. Bino me Ammoni posel. The son from an Ammonite is unacceptable. Ubita me Ammoni Kshera. The daughter from Ammoni is okay. Bamed vamumurim, Bamoni vamonis shinizgairu. This is true when you have an Ammonite man and woman that converted. Avol bita me Ammoni psula. But the daughter from an Ammonite man is unacceptable. So this is what Rabbi Zakkai had taught to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan understood this. Of course, the Gemara will explain what the meaning is, but upon hearing this source, Rabbi Yochanan reacts negatively. Omar le, poke toni livra. Go and take your teaching and throw it out. Take it outside. In other words, I reject what you just taught. Wow, we don't even know what was taught. So here the Gemara goes through. And by the way, we have a long point. Take note of that. It takes a number of lines to develop. What upset Rabbi Yochanan? So, my di amris, isha amonis kshera, that which you said that a woman from the Ammonite people is kosher, that's fine. Ammoni velo ammonis. That's the drosha we saw earlier, where the Torah says, lo sovo ammoni umoavi lekal Hashem, and the masculine form leads us to conclude the ammoni is restricted, even if he converts. He cannot marry a woman of Jewish descent, but that restriction does not apply to the female members of that nation who convert. So that's okay. Bino me Ammoni posel. The daughter of an Ammonite woman with an Ammonite man, he is considered an Ammonite male. Do Ammoni hu. He is a male whose father is from Ammon. He too is considered an Ammonite. Ubita me Ammoni shera. The daughter from an Ammonite is acceptable. Lamai. Regarding what? Regarding what are you saying that the daughter of the Ammonite man who converted is kosher? If your point is that she can marry a man of Jewish descent, well, that would be obvious. Hashta imo kshera, the mother herself, the first generation Ammonite woman who converts, she can marry a man of Jewish descent. Imi baya, the daughter of an Ammonite who had converted, does that need to be stated that she is acceptable to marry the kahal into the kahal? Ela le kahuna. Bita, the phrase Bita me'amoni kshera means that the daughter born from an Ammonite man, that daughter can marry even a Kohen. So now, the daughter of an Ammonite man can marry a Kohen. Now, this is a quote from the source. It said, Bamed v'amamurim v'amoni v'amonis shinizgairo avo bito me'amoni psula. Well, my bito me'amoni, what do you mean when you say bito me'amoni is psula? Ilemo amoni shinosa amoinis. If that's what you're saying, well, hainu yuris mechana. This is something that in the reisha you were machshir. If we take a look in the Rashi, toward the end of the narrow lines, there's a double star. Hainu gyurs mechana vo achshiris lo dohotani reisha bito me'amoni sheirab. You said that the bito me'amoni sheirab. You said that that would have been acceptable already. So, if it's a case of an Ammonite man that married an Ammonite woman and they converted and had a daughter, well, that's something that you said in point number three is kosher. So how can you be saying that over here, that bito me'amoni is psula, if that's what you're referring to? Elo amoini shenosa bas Yisrael. So rather, when you're saying bito psula, you must be referring to a case of an Ammonite man that married a Bas Yisrael, and you're concluding that the daughter is unacceptable because of the element of the bia bavera, the intimacy was through sin. An Ammonite man is not allowed to marry a woman of Jewish descent. Well, so regarding that, I disagree, says Rabbi Yochanan. Amarle, poke, toni, livra, take your source and throw it out. Because I'm telling you that case is also the case of the Ammonite man that married the woman, the Bas Yisrael, the woman of Jewish descent, their daughter is kosher. And this is from the drush we saw before of Amov, Me Amov. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading, the no say on the side. Hesper lahati kotoni b'mishnah b'shem ha-rabbonan. We're going to explain that which the Rabbonan had said in the Mishnah. They had responded to Rabbi Shimon, the yesh tshuva l'kal v'chomer shel Rabbi Shimon. Back in the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Vav Amid Beis, the Tanakama, the first opinion, had mentioned that a Mitzri man and woman have the same standard, that they are not allowed to marry into the Jewish fold until the third generation. Rabbi Shimon disagreed regarding the female Mitzrios, saying that a mitzris that converts is muteris immediately upon her conversion to marry a man of pure Jewish descent. And Reb Shimon maintained that this was through Kal V'chomer logic. And the Kal V'chomer was based on our approach to Amon and Moav, where the men are prohibited permanently, the women folk are mutaros, are allowed immediately upon their conversion. The Mitzri men, which are allowed at the third generation, the Mitzri women folk certainly should be allowed immediately. The Rabbonon had said that if this is a tradition that you have, then we can accept it. However, if it's based on pure logic, as we just conveyed, there is a response to that. And now, the Gemara. My tshuva. What is the response or the undoing of that Kal V'chomer? Omar Rabo Bar Chana Omar of Yochanan. Mishum de'iko le'meimar arayos yochichu. We can prove from the case of arayos shelo osar bohen elo ad shloisha doros. The case of Arayas are forbidden relations. Amongst the list of forbidden relations, we know that a grandfather with granddaughter, that's a third generation when you count inclusively, Bas Bito, the daughter of one's daughter, is someone forbidden. And when it comes to daughter of daughter, the same is true with daughter of son. That means a granddaughter through your son. So what do we see? They are also, there are three generations that are forbidden. And the Nekevos are like the Zecharim, whereby, once again, we say Bas Bino, Bas Bito, Kebas Bino. The Nekevos are like Zecharim. The daughter of one's daughter is like the daughter of one's son in terms of their prohibition. So that to claim that the Mitzri woman should be Muteris immediately through the Kal V'chomer because the Mitzri man is also only three generations, here we have a case of a three-generational prohibition, and the women are paralleled to the men. The Gemara continues now with a back-and-forth type discussion, and hence we're using this trapezoid shape to help follow the logic, or actually on the side, let me correct myself, these are Pirchois L'tshuva Shetzia Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan just suggested what the undoing of the Kal V'chomer would be, namely the case of Arayas. So here we attack that. Ma la'arayas shekein kores. In the case of Arayas, there's room to see that there is stringency whereby we equate the women with the men in prohibition, because Arayas is a realm where there is a kores punishment. Therefore, we're machmir on the Nekevus like the Zechorim. That's not so in the case of the Mitzri and the Mitzris. There's no kores involved there. So the Gemara says, no, that's not really an undoing of the tshuva. Mamzer yochiach. The case of Mamzer, and we see there is no kores, and yet the females are like the males. There is no distinction between a mamzer and a mamzeres, even though there is no kores involved there. So therefore, the arayas tshuva can be used. The Gemara says no. Ma lamamzer shekein eino roi lavo bakohol loyolam. Mamzer has a stringency that you don't find by the case of the Mitzri and Mitzvahs, for example, and that is that the Mamzer is prohibited for all generations. Therefore, it's a realm in which we can be will be stringent regarding the Nekevas like the Zechorim. So there will be Machmir on the Kevas like the Zechorim, but not so in the case of the Mitzri and Mitzris. So we have again a pircha to the tshuva. And by having a pircha to the tshuva, that means the original Kal V'chomer can stand. So we say no, arayos yochichu. Case of arayos is also only three generations, and the kevas are like the zecharim. V'chozar hadin. The logic continues and now revolves. And we see that lo ro'ize kiro'ize, v'lo ro'ize kiro'ize. Neither one of the examples are really like the other example. However, hatsada shevashebahen, the common denominator that you find between the mamzer and arayas is shasurin, there is prohibition, ve'echad zechorim ve'echad nekevus, and we equate the females to the males. Afani ovi mitzri u'mitzris, shiwasurim, echad zechorim ve'echad nekevus. So through this common denominator, we have a tshuva, a response to Rabbi Shimon's Kal V'chomer. Just to repeat that last point, Rabbi Shimon, according to his Kal V'chomer, wanted to maintain that a mitzris should be allowed immediately. Here you have the cases of Mamzer and Arayas, where we find that the females are paralleled to the males. And therefore you cannot say the mitzris should be muteris immediately when the male has to wait three generations. We attack this ma lahatsara sheva shebahen she yesh sheken yesh bahem sad kores. In the case of Arayas, the actual cohabitation is punishable by kores. In the case of a mamzer, the mamzer himself is the result of cohabitation that was chayev in kores, that was punishable by kores. That's not true in the case of the mitzrim v'rabbanon. Well, the rabbanon that said that there is nevertheless a response to Rabbi Shimon's Kal V'chomer may cholol the chayve asei ucha Rabbi Elezer ben Yankiv. The Rabbanan came to their conclusion from the case of a Kohen Gadol, for example, that had relations with a rape victim. The Chayve Asay, a Kohen Gadol is warned, is told, is exhorted by the Torah to marry a virgin girl. If he violates that, he's considered in violation of a positive command. The Torah says in positive terms that he shall marry a basula, a virgin girl. What happens if a Kohen Gadol marries a rape victim? Now, a rape victim, she is usher to a Kohen Gadol on the grounds of the mitzvahs asay. She's no longer a virgin woman. What is the din of a Kohen Gadol that does marry a rape victim? According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yankiv, the child is a cholol. Now we take a look at the Rashi. We go right to the point. You'll see there's a triple star halfway down the wide lines of Rashi under the Gemara text. V'hachi parchi le Rabbonon l'Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbonon who said to Rabbi Shimon that your Kal V'chomer has an undoing, has a response. Arayas yochichu. They tried to say that in the case of Arayas, remember Bas Beno and Bas Bito, where we paralleled the Nekevas to the Zchorim, and then you would ask on that parallel, you would say, well, Ma Arayas sheken kores. There's an element of kores. They're punishable by kores, a grandfather that has intimacy with his granddaughter. Not so in the case of the Mitzri. So then, cholol de chayve asei ochiach. The case of the cholol that comes from chayve asei, she'ein bo kores. There's no element of kores. If a kohen gadol marries a rape victim, there's no kores punishment there. The asura habas keben. The daughter of that union is forbidden to the kahuna. She's disqualified from the kahuna, just like the son of such a union is disqualified. But then you could say, Malo cholol sheken yitzirosa b'aveira. Lafika chosa nekevas kizachorim. There, the child is formed through an act of sin. Therefore, the daughters, the females are like the males. And then we would say back, Arayos yochichu, she'ein yitzirosa b'aveira. In the case of the granddaughter, she was legitimate. She's not formed through sin. Just so happens that a grandfather cannot cohabit with his granddaughter. And if they do, the osar bas bito kebas beno. And yet the Torah prohibits the nekevos, the bas bito, like the zechorim, like bas beno. So you see, we needed Rashi to spell out what the Rabbanan had in mind when they responded to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, who wanted to make a Kal V'chomer indicating the mitzris mitzvah should be muteris immediately, because the whole isur by the mitzrim is only a three generational matter to begin with. We respond by showing you that three generational matters do parallel the females to the males. Let's continue in the Gemara. The Gemara goes on to say, umai loy ki. Now we have to look in Rashi to explain that. My lo ki, demashma de'ein tshuvasam tshuva. Rabbi Shimon, upon hearing the Rabbonon's claim that there was an undoing of his Kal V'chomer, and we just heard what the Kal V'chomer, what their undoing was, Rabbi Shimon says, what you're saying is not an attack on my Kal V'chomer. So what did he mean by that? So let's continue in the Gemara. Hachi ko'omar luhu. Thusly, Rabbi Shimon says to the Rabbanan, L'didi lo sviro li de Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. I don't hold by Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov in the first place. I don't hold that when a Kohen Gadol violates in cohabitation a mitzvah saseh, that the child is a cholol. That I hold that chalolim come about only when there's a negative command that is violated. If we take a look in Rashi that we're looking at is six lines from the bottom. Lo svirali de rabbozer ben Yaakov, the ein cholol mechayve asay, umecholol de chayve lavin lo motzisu lemifrach, from a precedent of chalolim that come through a negative command, you can't use that as a pircha. The ika lemifrach ma lahanoch shekein lav. If you find a precedent from cholos that result from negative commands, that is the very undoing. Tomar be mitzri adomi shein asay v'ein chomor. Mitzri and adomi are not as severe as they're only positive commands, which are less severe than negative commands. So in a case where the matter is of lighter concern, there we can use my Kal V'chomer and conclude that the mitzris should be immediately allowed. Let's continue in the Gemara. So Reb Shimon is saying, first of all, I don't hold by Reb Lozer ben Yaakov. Lididchu, the severe luchu k'Reb Lozer ben Yaakov, according to you, who do hold by Reb Lozer ben Yaakov, and through holding that, you come to undoing my Kal V'chomer, well, I have news for you. Halocho ani omer. I said that mitzris is muteris immediately, not through the Kal V'chomer. I said it through an oral tradition. Tanya, Omar Lahen Rabbi Shimon, Halocho ani omer. When I say that the mitzris is muteris immediately, I'm saying that based on an oral tradition. V'oid mikra misayini. Furthermore, a posuk supports me. This is a pasuk that you find in Dvarim, Perek Chav Gimel, pasuk Tes. Bonim veloi bonos. The pasuk in the context of the Mitzri and Edomi says bonim, says children, male children. You'll see the pasuk's quote on the next line. Bonim ashi voldu lahem dor shlishi. The third generation of bonim is allowed, only once you reach the third generation. But that requirement to wait three generations is by the bonim, by the male children, velo bonos, not by the female. The females are mutaros immediately. And now, in that spirit, we continue. Tana rabbanan bonim velo bonos, divrei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon makes a distinction between the male mitzri versus the female mitzris. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, hare hu omer. The posuk says, Bonim asher yivoldu lohem dor shlishi, hakosuv tolon beleida. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yehuda does not allow the female mitzris immediately, but rather they too have to wait three generations. Now that last point is vague if you are going simply with the text that we have in front of us. Om Rav Yochanan, Ilav Yom Rav Yuda, Hakosuv Tolon Beleida. If not for the fact that Rav Yehuda in making his point, says that the pasuk, when it deals with the Mitzrayim, it makes their acceptance into the Jewish people dependent on birth. Now, birth is something that's characteristic of females. Females give birth. Hence, that's what Rabbi Yehuda was saying to Rabbi Shimon, that you can't emphasize simply the masculinity of the grammatical form bonim, making a distinction between bonim versus bonos, which is the feminine form, because the pasuk speaks about asher yivaldu, the ones who give birth have to wait three generations as well, namely the women folk as well. Now, Rabbi Yochanan points out that if Rabbi Yehuda had not said that Mitzrios also have to wait three generations, Lo Motza Yodav Araglov Bebeis HaMedrash, Rabbi Yehuda would not have been able to literally find his hands or feet. He wouldn't have been able to stand up in the Beis Medrash. Namely, if a Mitzris would be considered as, when she converts, Muteris immediately to the Jewish people, we would then say that she is considered a member of Kahal. Kahal is a concept that we've mentioned in previous Shiurim. And Rabbi Huda, this Tana, Rabbi Huda, is of the opinion that converts, the Kahal Gerim, are called Kahal. Conceptually, a Ger is the member of Kahal. Now, if that would be the case, that the Mitzrios are considered Mutaros immediately, that would then classify them as regular converts, and as such, they are considered Kahal, because converts in Rabbi Yehuda's mind are Kahal. The Mitzri Sheni, the Mitzri man, would have no solution. Let's see this in the Gemara. Kevon d'yomamar, since Rabbi Yehuda holds Kahal Geira Mikri Kahal, continuing at the top of Ayin Ches Omer Aleph, Mitzri Sheni B'mai Yitar, a second generation Mitzri, who would he be able to marry? But now that Rabbi Yehuda says that the Mitzris, the female Mitzri convert, the female convert of the Mitzri people, is also not Muteris immediately, so she cannot be considered Kahal, and that will be the one with whom the Mitzri Sheni can mate. And through that, they produce a Mitzri Shlishi, who is able to marry into the Jewish people. The Gemara responds to this and says, Dilma de'i avar v'nosiv. Maybe the Mitzri woman who converts is in fact muteris immediately. And you'll ask, so what is the chance of the Mitzri Sheni having his children become muter b'may yitar? I'll tell you. If he violated, the E means post facto, he went ahead and violated and married a Bas Yisrael or a standard Giyores. The Gemara says, the E lo kosev kra. Psukim, when describing halachas, they don't speak about post facto or what we call b'di'evit cases. D'i is from the expression d'i avad, if they went and did something in violation. The psukim that describe the Mitzri shlishi as being able to marry into the fold isn't going to be the function of an aveira. The Gemara says, what do you mean the psukim don't speak in terms of d'i? Hare mamzer D'i v'kasvei krop. Let's take a look at Rashi on the third line from the top. V'harei mamzer d'i hu lo have mamzer elo al yudei avera. A mamzer comes into existence only because sin had taken place. Shiva aviv al chai v'krisus. The father of the mamzer had relations with someone forbidden to him to the tune of a kores punishment. V'kasve kro lo yovo mamzer. And the pasuk says that a mamzer is not to join the Jewish people. V'afagav delo shchiach. Even though it's something that's uncommon, itzrich kro lemichteve. The Torah has to write it. The lechi misrami lo nitmabe. That when a mamzer comes about, we shouldn't. They shouldn't mix in with us. So the Gemara says, response: Dei leisura kosav. The pasuk will recount situations that are the result of sin when we are trying to teach something of a restrictive nature, as in the case of the mamzer. Do not marry a mamzer. However, de'i lehetera lo kosav. The situation of sin that would lead to something that is mutter, that the Torah would not feature. And that's exactly the case of the Mitzri Sheni. We know that the child of a Mitzri Sheni is mutter to marry into the Jewish fold. Well, how does the child of a Mitzri Sheni come about? If you say that the Mitzris Shnia, that the Mitzri woman is not muteris immediately, then I can understand how the Mitzri Sheni has someone that he is allowed to marry, producing the Mitzri Shlishi. But if you say that the Mitzris is Muteris immediately, she becomes Kahal, then who can the Mitzri Sheni marry? And if you'll say, well, who says it was a Heter marriage? The Eov Arvinosev, like we said. Yeah, but that's then teaching me a case of an Avera that produces a Mitzri Shlishi, which is permitted Heter, and that the Torah wouldn't do. Question. Hare Machsir Grushosoi De'ilahetero v'kasve. What's this? A man divorced his wife. That's a Grusha. In the interim, after he divorced her, she married someone else. And after marrying that someone else, you know, they either died or divorced her, the original husband takes her back. That is a sin. What we just described is an Avera. The Chazal Darshan, that is called a Toyeva. There's something called an abomination. However, the children that result from that are not an abomination. They're kosher. So the case of Machzir Grushoso is featured in the Torah, and it in effect communicates to us that the children are mutorim. There is no problem with the children. Even though the man took back his wife after she married someone else in the interim, which he shouldn't have done, the children are kusherim, are heterim, are mutor. So there's a case of de'i, de'i ovar v'nosif, something that was done through sin, and heter results. So the Gemara says that is not parallel to the case of the Mitzri Sheni producing a Mitzri Shlishi through sin. Hasa Mishalikari Surahu de Kasve. There the Torah had to write Hito Eva to tell us that that act itself is forbidden. The case of the Machzir Grushoso is such that the Torah's goal there wasn't simply to teach about the children as being cherim. The Torah's immediate goal was to teach that that act of taking her back is usur. And therefore, as we saw before, de'i l'usura, the things that are being taught in order to teach restriction, that the Torah will tell us about an Avera situation. And that is the case of the Machzir Grushoso Mishinises. However, the case of the Mitzri Sheni, how in the world do the children of a Mitzri Sheni become mutorim to the Kahal, mutorim to marry people of Jewish descent? How does that come about? That comes about, as we said, because the women folk of the Mitzri are also not mutoros immediately. That even though a ger is considered Kahal in the mind of Rabbi Yehuda, but that shita of his forces him, so to speak, into the position of holding that the mitzris convert is not a mainline, straight-line convert, and hence she's not going to be considered kohol, and therefore the mitzri sheni, who is not allowed to marry into kohol, is allowed to marry the mitzris convert, or the mitzris sheni. And with that, we have a heter marriage that produces the mutter dor shlishi, the mutter third generation of Mitzrayim. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, in order to access Mark and Morris, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.